Hi everybody, welcome to the latest edition of Return of the Hack, the podcast from E92+. I'm your host, Neil Langridge, and I'm delighted today to be joined from by Avril from Trend Micro. Hi Avril, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much, Neil, for having me here today.
No problem. No. Thanks very much for joining us. So again, this is a little bit different from the usual episodes we have. We're not going to be talking so much about technology or even products, but actually about taking cybersecurity out into the community and leveraging all that kind of expertise and that knowledge that we have. So kind of Avril, if you want to kind of give a little bit of background about yourself, Trend, and then we'll kind of get into the program.
Absolutely. So I've been, I'm 21 years in Trend Micro.
Congratulations.
Hardcore. Yeah. I've probably worked in every aspect of the business. However, about 16 years ago, I had very young kids, and I began volunteering for something that had just started in Trend called the Internet Safety for Kids and Families program. I volunteered, meaning that in my on the couch at night, I'd, you know, start preparing and started going out into schools and built up a group of volunteers in the local office here in Cork, because I'm based in the Trend Micro office in Ireland. And that was 16 years ago, and I'm now permanently working in that program. And I guess because I have kids, but you don't have to have children to do and be part and volunteer to be part of the Internet Safety for Kids and Families program. Trend Micro are a global cyber security leader in industry, and we have 8,000 employees around the world. We have it's a $1 billion company. It started out and owned by a married Taiwanese couple based in the US, and it started in their sitting room. And that has grown from strength to strength to where it is today. You can imagine going from that to where we are now.
Quite a journey, and yeah.
Huge. And they are very, very passionate, not just about, we live and breathe security, how to protect, you know, technologies, supports, and services to protect our customers all around the world, real time. And they are passionate about keeping the internet a cleaner place. So this is why the Internet Safety for Kids and Families program exists. I'll call it ISKF for short. So our vision, Neil, in Trend is to keep the world safe for the exchange of digital information. And yeah, with the ISKF program, that translates down to the world's most vulnerable, to everyone in society, whether you're 6 years of age or you're 97 years of age. Yeah. It's important that, you know, we are experts in security. We have a responsibility to our communities all around the world. And that comes in the form of education, because you can have all the technology and services and products to support our customers, but so many people out there don't have the knowledge about what they need to know about the risks and threats out there on a daily, hourly basis. And if you don't know those fully, then you don't truly understand how to protect yourself and prevent those from happening to you. So in combination with what we, you know, our technology and our services, education is that part that's fundamental to ensure that people understand first what those risks and threats are, and then to be aware of their own behaviors as to, you know, I'll be fine. The settings are okay. Or I need to be aware of this and understand your motivations and learn to protect yourself and understand the importance of it. So with our ISKF program, which is free, everything we do in community all around the world is free. My job is a global program manager for ISKF. So I work currently with 27 countries, Neil. And what we do, we've, up until this year in 2024, we have reached 4.6 million children, parents, teachers, older adults in our community. And we're very proud of that. And that has grown from strength to strength because of our volunteers. We can't do this without our volunteers and the partner organizations that we work with around the world. And we're very passionate about that. So everything we do, like I said, is free. And we have different programs. So, you know, whether it's going talking to children in your school, delivering a program in there, or teenagers, or parents and teachers, or older adults. Did you know, Neil, that 1 in 6 adults by the year 2030 will be over 50 years of age.
That's quite a surprising statistic. You don't necessarily think of being that, but that's quite a generational shift.
Yes, and it'll double by 2050. That's just too realistic. So, with that in mind, with the aging demographic globally, and you can see it in some countries more prevalent than others at the moment, that's why we developed our senior citizens program. But with our focus on education and our passion for it, we do it in four different ways. Education is just one. Innovation, obviously, given the name Trend Micro, it's our middle name, innovation. So when it comes to our services and our technical solutions, that's where our innovation is really important, to protect our customers. And translating that then into, it could be simple things like free tech tools to help you learn more about identity theft, or a site safety center where you check, is this website actually okay? Just simple free tools just to help onboard them. But our technology, our innovation. So innovation is number one. We're very passionate about that. That's where it all began in a sitting room 35 years ago. And education is the second one. And the third one then is collaboration. So we're not the experts in media literacy, in mental health, in cyberbullying. And that's why it's really important that we collaborate and partner with those organizations internationally who are the experts. And we're curators of their expertise. And when we do go out into community, so Neil, if you went out next week and I gave you the slides and the speaker notes and some training and maybe a previous recording, you're going out with expertise, evidence-based research, and it's coming quite where we're not experts. We have the expertise on board because we've curated that from them, collaborating with them and partnering with them for years, So that's the third thing. And the fourth then is emulate. So we have to practice what we preach. So I do parent webinars, and we have people from UK and Ireland join them with 1600 on the last Zoom webinar. And it went on for, I think there was about 300 still on it after an hour and a half. The questions, the answer, it was really, really engaging. And it's something that we take pride in. We're inclusive. We have sign language with us. So we have a sign language interpreter real time with us on the call. If people of different languages are on the call, we can organize for real time interpretation as well. So emulating means that we're talking and we're doing and we're living through examples as well. And it's probably easier for me as a parent, that I've been through the experiences myself as a parent. And, I think it gives parents a lot of comfort to hear that I don't get it right, and I make mistakes, and I make the same mistakes over and over, and I've learned from my mistakes. And my kids probably teach me more than I teach them, but I do have the tools, the technology, and the information to know how best to protect them. And do you remember what our number one piece of advice is for the ISKF program? I'm putting you on the spot now, Neil, asking you.
And obviously, and I'll also say, obviously, I have, I've worked with you for a little bit, so I have delivered some sessions out there, both for kids and for parents, and equally kind of eye-opening. And no, it's been a while since I've done it, so I can't
You're
remember the
okay.
number one.
When I tell you're just going, yeah, I do that.
Obviously,
So our
yeah.
number one piece of advice for parents everywhere, no matter what the challenge is the relationship with their child. Where parents think it's going to be this tool, this piece of technology. There is no technology that will ever replace the role of a parent in a child's life. And the tools, the settings, the screen time management tool, all of that, that's the technology to support and complement the parent in the relationship with the child. And we're very passionate about that, no matter what the challenge is, because we want them to be responsible when we're not around, and we want to make sure that they make responsible decisions, basically. So in a nutshell, the four ways we go about it are educate, innovate, collaborate, and emulate. So that's how we do it, and that's how we reach 4.6 million with volunteers and partners globally.
Yeah, no, I mean it's an incredible program, and those numbers are absolutely fantastic. And it's interesting to think that the kind of it must have been evolving so much, because what, where we are as a kind of, as a community and as a society around technology, when it kind of started, all that, kind of over kind of 14, 15 years ago, not everybody was involved and engaged with technology in quite the same way. Definitely not our children. Whereas now we're in a very, very different place. Everyone, the kind of rise of the digital natives, but still the similar challenges are absolutely still there in terms of that education and awareness and just understanding. So it's quite the cycle of continually changing the details in terms of what people need to do and how they interact. But those fundamentals are going to still be exactly the same around communication, around kind of being aware, being sensible in terms of taking the right precautions, and making sure that people kind of have as much knowledge as possible to be able to make the best decisions. I'll never say the right decisions, because as you say, there's often no
We're
simple right
human.
answer.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think of the Industrial Revolution and all, we are in a technological revolution, and we're not through it, and we are the first users of it. And even as users, we see the changes. And you're right, our messaging and positioning has never changed. We're 16 years doing ISKF this year in community, and our messaging and positioning has never changed. And our number one piece of advice about the relationship and active listening and, building that and holding on to that with both hands,
Yep.
that is the key. And our slides and our material and all our content is online and very fancy, but the message and positioning is still the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think obviously one of the things that in being able to reach all of those kind of millions of people is being able to kind of use the power of the Trend Micro partner community. So obviously it's not just Trend, but it's working with those partners, and that's what we've all got to do to be able to leverage as many of those relationships, because just Trend by yourself, you're not going to be able to do everything. So definitely the kind of the wider cybersecurity technology community, bit of an onus, I suppose, on all of us to be able to, not just work with Trend, but to be able to go out there and leverage the expertise that we do have.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you a brilliant example of something. So if I were to go out and deliver a cyber academy to children in a classroom every week for 5 weeks, that's 5 hours. And if I spent all my days doing that, and solely that,
Yeah.
I would probably get a school done in 2 months. And what we did is we designed a Cyber Academy boot camp where we train. It can be our customers, it
Yeah.
can be our channel partners, it can be our service providers, it can be teenagers, right?
Yeah.
Scouts. And they come into our office and we do boot camp with them. And that means we train them to deliver the Cyber Academy to kids. And they leave with a toolkit and all the stuff, the good stuff, and all they have to do is practice and prepare and then work and engage with the local school and go in. And one school alone that we have trained in the boot camp, and we've trained hundreds of teens in the last year that come into our office. We do boot camps a lot. One school alone has delivered it to 1,200 kids, the entire 7, 8, 9, 10 age group.
Wow, okay.
So the that's just face-to-face interaction, and the value of training and empowering others in our community. We want to empower others to know, they won't know all the answers, but they know what to do. And with teens, for example, or with if you wanted to deliver a parent talk in the morning, just that you have everything to engage in the conversation and community. So the COVID has brought about a lot of online content that can be used. I now do maybe six parent webinars a year, and I can one webinar we could have anything between 500 and 1,600 people on the call. If I was going out to schools pre-COVID, parents are busy and it's hard to get to the school, get your kids to school, never mind get to a meeting. So it's recorded, it's on demand, it's got sign language in there if you need it. And it's there for everyone. And in six, you get in community face to face pre-COVID, between 15, 20 to 70, depending on the community turning up for a parent talk. And I might do 20 to 30 of them a year, and that's 20 to 30 nights of my personal time.
Yes,
whereas now, it's 6 webinars a year recorded online and thousands of on-demand views afterwards. I mean, technology is really supporting us to reach more into community, to help us scale. And that's what we need. We need to be talking about this in community.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating kind of getting more people involved to be able to deliver the sessions, especially teenage, because I think that's the other thing. We can't just have the, you know, people who work in cybersecurity kind of effectively talking down of like, these are all the things that you should be doing and you're not doing. Having as broad and diverse and, you know, not just the audience, but broad and diverse in terms of the people going out there and talking about it, because that will resonate in different ways with a lot of people, I think. And people probably, a lot of kids will probably listen in a different way if it's somebody that's more similar to their own peer group.
Without a doubt. And, you know, if I heard, Neil, that you were presenting in my local community and I live in your community, I will go and listen to you, you know. Kids love the teenagers, you know. The language is different. They're more relatable.
Yeah.
And the impact for teens is that they're learning how to present, confidence, assertiveness, if they're interested in teaching when they get older, managing an event, you know, and coordinating, organizing and planning, and then giving to kids and from their own learnings what they don't want these kids to go through, and they can impart to those kids through the episode their own pieces of nuggets of advice, you know. So it's just powerful. It's powerful all around. The feedback's been great, so it's just fantastic to do that. And anyway, anyhow, we can pick up that conversation and make sure that people understand the risks out there. You know, 1 in 4 people in the US are being, you know, they have theft, their identity stolen.
Right.
It's huge, and it's so easy to happen if you're not aware of what is identity theft. Does that happen to others?
Yeah.
That can happen to any one of us. How do I protect my personal information online? There are simple things you can do to prevent that.
Yeah.
And if it does happen, there are ways to, you know, to react and to deal with it. And even to check to see if you have personal information on the dark web leaked. There are ways to even check that.
Yes, you can.
You know, we have ID Protect, IDP from micro.com. Just go in there. It's a free tool. Put in your phone number and it'll search the dark web real time. And it will tell you if you have any data leak. And then if you do, it will tell you where to go and what to do. And the same with your email address. And, you know, so I love giving these free tools out, because what that one does is, you may think identity theft is something on the telly, on the latest movie, right? But when you go into the tool and you just put in your email address, and then suddenly you're told that social media account with this email address was leaked in the dark web on this date.
Yeah.
That's when it hits home. That's the education right there. Now here's my motivation to make a change in my safety settings and my protection of my personal information.
Yeah.
So it's about getting that motivation, tapping into people's motivations by educating them about the impact and consequences of doing or not doing.
Yeah, I think that the scale of it has definitely kind of changed massively. And as you say, people kind of beginning to understand, you know, the consequences. And I think kind of, again, where it's evolved, that we always thought about cybercrime years ago, it definitely was something that impacted businesses, but it wasn't necessarily how it impacted individuals. And obviously, you know, the kind of the huge impact from in terms of young people using technology, social media, and I think there's a lot of us that we just don't understand, whether it's the dark web that we hear on the news and that sounds terribly scary, but is that really anything to do with us, you know, kind of how does that work, all the way through to kids and children using social media, whether they should be or whether they shouldn't be, they are. And you know, and I think there is that big gap of kids not necessarily knowing how to use it effectively, but you know, generations like us, is, you know, we didn't grow up, you know, there was definitely no social media on my Nokia 6310, you know, when I had
Nokia
that
block, yeah.
Sorry?
A Nokia block, yeah?
Nokia block, yeah. Actually, the sort of thing you could bury in concrete for 5 years, dig up, and the battery would still be working. So
if you were lucky to have one.
Yeah, I was very, very privileged, yeah. So, but yeah, I had I could play Snake and that was it. I could maybe send a text message and no
I
one
know you're
knew.
just going off. No, you're just
Yeah,
showing off.
exactly. But you know, it's such a different landscape, and it's one where now that the older generation don't have the knowledge, and it's having to teach the kids, it's having to teach the older generation as much as possible. So they learn how to, and they've got the, and sometimes it's just having the language. It's learning how to communicate with kids because they don't understand the terminology and the language and the words and the apps and everything. So it's not just having that. It's getting that understanding. So it's not just saying you need to sit down with your kids and talk about it, because we all know that, we all know, need to do that. But it's learning how to do it.
Yes.
It's speaking the right words without, so you can get that right engagement.
Nobody likes being told what to do.
No.
So that's not going to work.
Yep.
So it's about that language. And, you know, we had two workshops before Christmas. They were my favorite of the year, nearly, with senior citizens. And I asked them, what is your greatest concern? What would you like to achieve out of today's workshop? And what would you think would be their number one thing they wanted to learn about and understand?
Maybe how to talk to their families. How it was it was it social media in terms of being
It
able
was
to.
an internet safety workshop for senior citizens.
Right.
And we had a bunch of modules, right, from passwords, two-factor, shopping online, banking, phishing, scams, all of that, right, ready to go for the workshop. But before I went into it, I just said, what is your greatest concern? What would you like to learn today? What do you think was the biggest thing that was a concern for them that they wanted to figure out? They're digital users now, these guys.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, the obvious thing might be either kind of just using social media, or just it, or was it the scams and the, you know, the kind of not getting caught out?
No, you won't believe it. It was cookies.
No, I mean, I wouldn't have got that. No, in a million
Who
years, I wouldn't
would?
have.
But you can understand why. If you think about this, right? Every time you click on a website, what's the first thing that pops up in Europe because of GDPR?
Yeah, legally
Cookies.
mandated. Yep.
Accept, reject, or manage. So every time our seniors in the room, in that room, every single one of them said cookies. And the following workshop, they said it as well.
Yeah.
Because they go onto the web and is this a safe website? What do I do? What do I accept? Do I reject? What if I don't? What if I do? What do I do?
Yeah. No, I mean that you're absolutely spot on, because nobody's explained what cookies are. Or what
No.
they are. Accept all, reject all, do it bespoke, only accept essential ones.
And
And
all
then
it's a matter of doing
everything.
is explaining it to them. Telling
Yeah.
them they can set up a weekly thing to delete all the cookies and remove them on their search engine. So
Yeah.
it's just it's f see finding where. So we went, like, we had a ton of modules, like, and this I had cookies on the module deal. So,
Yeah.
but don't worry, we put it in there and we talked about it. But it's one thing you think you know what they need, but listening, you
Absolutely.
really get to understand what their needs are and where they're at. And you get so much joy out of, well, that's actually an easy one. I thought you were going to be asking me, you know. So you just don't know where everyone's coming from. And it's the same with parents and it's the same with teens. The amount, half of teens that I talk to every time when I do Google quizzes with them, would you know what to do if your device was compromised? 50 to 60% of them don't know what to do. You
Yeah,
know,
and then
major.
and, yeah, and then often, you know, and then they can panic and do something wrong. So it's absolutely having that information kind of up front that they need to be able to do.
Open up the hood of the engine and just show them right in and explain to them how it all works,
Yeah.
from risks and threats, the threat actors, and then what they're trying to achieve and why, and how the different ways they do it, and then how you can protect yourself. But it's showing them what and how, showing them what and why makes them want to know the how to protect.
Yeah. No, there's definitely learning of being able to get under the hood, and I'm sure a lot of the organisations that you kind of work with and talk to, you know, whether it's anything from kind of, you know, kind of scouts or community organisations or obviously schools, I think we, you know, we don't need to kind of go into the detail. We all know that they're dramatically under-resourced and under-skilled. So it is a tremendous value that we can kind of collectively all bring, because they don't have that knowledge and expertise, especially if you kind of like larger secondary schools might have IT staff, but primary schools, it's whoever knows most gets the job of being, the IT teacher.
Yeah, they don't have IT departments. Yeah.
And scouts and guides, they won't have IT teams
Yeah.
ready to go out. So there is a, there's a real kind of, there is such a need out there for this kind of expertise, and it's just not a priority for them. Kind of, which is fair enough.
Yeah, and we're in the cyber industry. We are at an advantage because we're in that place. But the content that we deliver has to be almost non-technically complicated. Anyone can deliver this. It's designed that way to invoke conversation. And the presenter sometimes may not know all the answers, and they open up the conversation with the group. And if nobody knows, then it's researched online and they can come back to us or to you and say, I got this question last night and I said I'll get back to them on it. But and guess where we go? We go research online,
Same
So
here.
and then I mean, we don't need to hear this. We know this already, but you look at the 22nd of January this year, a bunch of researchers came across a 26 billion records compromised in a catastrophic data leak, right? What does that mean for, the world? It means that, they're going to the danger, I guess, is that these threat actors, they're going to use it for a wide range of attacks, identity theft, sophisticated phishing schemes, targeted cyber attacks, unauthorized access to personal information or private information for you and me. So that'll hit the news, and that's why I'll get called on a radio station to talk and explain. And it's what gets attention. And which is, I'm not saying that the news is bad, but it's good that it's drawn attention because it's opportunities to have those conversations and to get people to think about things.
And actually, it also get us to think about things in a different way. I think that this is one of the things that it can challenge, because I think, not just kind of in a from a broader cybersecurity marketing perspective, but even, a lot of, look, there's obviously a lot of great technology and platforms out there designed to deliver security awareness, education, and training just to staff. But we've all seen plenty of examples of you clicked on the, kind of almost kind of trapping users. Oh, we did a phishing campaign and you clicked on the link, and that was bad, and you shouldn't have done that, and that was obvious, and you almost get manipulated. This is a great way of kind of turning that tables and having that open conversation and being challenged and asking questions that we don't necessarily always ask, and getting a better understanding of what people actually understand. So it's not so top down, and I think that's probably what we're not so good at. It's a little bit too much top down at the moment.
Yes, and even actually, it's great talking to senior citizens because we talk to them about the psychology of it. You're going these threat actors, they're targeting thousands of people, but someone's going to click that link because it's relevant to them. I am waiting for something in the post, and it is really important. And the wedding is tomorrow, and it'll just coincidentally happen by coincidence, and the link is clicked. You're being targeted under pressure in a time frame, and you're not thinking straight, and you click. So just taking that moment and your gut. So that's another one. Your gut is not highly technical. It's not a tool. It's an internal system that stands to you. Our gut rarely lets us down, our gut instinct. And just taking that moment to just, I had one senior citizen say that they got a call that their Wi-Fi was down, but the call was from the Wi-Fi company, and you're not going to get it now for 2 weeks unless you could pay me by Revolut now and we can get it up and running for you. And they did. I need Wi-Fi. I have to. So just taking that moment, paying you on Revolut. Let me call you back on that. Just a couple of minutes will not burn anything. So your gut instincts.
But it's building in those, that kind of, so people automatically just kind of think of, don't say best practice, but just like caution, and
Yes.
kind of understanding the fundamentals about this stuff can help give people the tool set they need
Yeah,
for
that
that.
they're getting more and more sophisticated. They're getting more and more personal. Hey, Avril, just following up. Do you want to meet tomorrow? Sorry, I couldn't make it yesterday. I don't even know this person. They act like they know me. They're getting so right in there, so personal, so targeted at us. And just your awareness and your vigilance. And they could be emulating someone in your own office or a family member, you know? Yeah.
And obviously it's kind of almost impossible, if not almost against the law now, not to have a conversation around cybersecurity and at some point mention AI. But you know, I mean, but that's Nick, rather than kind of us getting into the weeds on AI, it's a perfect example of where technology and kind of the rate of pace of change and you know, kind of just ordinary people who don't work in the industry, and frankly, people who do work in the industry, just understanding the sheer implications of what this means. And that is, it's a good example of why this sort of, these sort of kind of programs and initiatives are so important, because it is, it moves at lightning pace. And the expectation for everybody to understand of like, oh yeah, we've just unleashed this incredible technology that that we've had AI for a long, long time. And obviously Trend have had it as part of the program for a long time. But now it's available in the hands for you know, ordinary people. I'm more than happy to say, you know, I've kind of talked to my eldest daughter about how we can potentially use this as a as an additional tool for her homework. You know, and then she shows me, oh, well, it's built in Snapchat, has AI built into it. It's like, oh, okay, all right. Naturally,
it's here already.
Yeah, and actually,
it does Valentine's for your...
Yeah. And it does answer physics questions. I can confirm that as well. That's quite helpful.
But it's just getting
to grips with this so quickly, isn't it? That's the challenge.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we're using it already. We don't even realize half the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are dangers. There are risks associated, as has been publicly discussed in forums. But there are benefits too. And it will hugely positively impact our lives. It's all about, it's how we use it. The responsibility is on us to be responsible with it. And, you know, so people are looking at this in so many different ways. Careers, jobs that are going to become obsolete, new roles coming down the track. And, you know, the future, where is the future going to be with our mobile device? We're never going to type again, Neil.
No.
We'll never type again. We'll never send an email. It'll do it all for us. It'll, you know, that's just the basics. I mean, it'll set up and create an app there for me about, you don't even have to give it code right now. ChatGPT will create an app without even you giving it the coding.
Yeah.
It'll do the coding and create the app for you. Like, it'll design a piece of art for you. It'll create anything you want. So it's there already, but it's how we can incorporate that into our lives where it benefits community in a positive way, and then outside of community, that we use it responsibly.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, I'm definitely hoping that plenty of people are going to be listening to this, and then hopefully kind of thinking about kind of getting involved. So I suppose, how can we, you know, other than obviously kind of contacting Trend and getting involved in this, kind of what is involved in kind of getting, you know, kind of getting involved in the program, learning more, getting in front of people? Because I'd also imagine that a lot of people will kind of have a level of expertise, whether they're in not necessarily in technical roles, but in sales and marketing or operations, but they work within kind of cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. But there is a bit of a reluctance to necessarily go from going, oh, I kind of know that, or maybe just telling your auntie at a party, don't click on Facebook, aren't giving away free holidays, and that's not a real competition, and all of that, to actually then going up and standing in front of kids, which, you know, having done the program before, that's quite intimidating, and having kind of 50 kids all wanting to put their hands up and ask you about hackers, because hackers are obviously very exciting.
That's and fascinating the stuff.
Yeah,
that's the currency, Neil, to get them listening.
Yeah, that's the hook that you need, absolutely. So, you know, kind of how can people get involved and kind of, you know, kind of get past that fear of kind of like, of feeling, oh, do I now have to be the expert and get in front of people? Because I think, you know, that's a big challenge, I imagine, for a lot of people.
Yeah. So you do not have to be a technical genius to be doing this. And, you know, if there's something for everyone, right? So I'll give you an example. We have volunteers that say, give me kids. I'm just sick of grown-ups. I love work with kids. Just give me kids any day. And then I've got volunteers that are like, I'll do the grown-ups. Keep me awake.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, if you consider a lot of us are the sandwich generation where we're looking after our kids, but we're also looking after our parents' devices, right? So we're IT support for our parents.
Absolutely.
And you see the challenges to the point of almost discrimination that they're half afraid to ask you. They don't like burdening you, asking you to do their taxes or their insurance things. And, you know, so we are that sandwich generation. And some volunteers actually want and prefer to work with older people.
Yeah.
So there's something there for everyone. And, you know, we've had heads of Trend Micro business units that have said, I find it so much easier to talk to my enterprise customers.
Yeah.
Because of ISKF. Because I have to simplify my language when I'm delivering and presenting to kids, to parents, to teachers. The language has to be non-corporate. So you have to translate. And that's the key here. The language has to be plain, explaining things, practical. And that's why the content is designed in that way. You do not have to be a tech genius. And it's fun.
Yeah.
And it's engaging. There's fun videos for the kids. You play it. You're not doing all the talking. In fact, what your job there is to facilitate conversation. You have questions to ask them after they watch the video. So you can, if you'd like, you can decide you want to do a parent talk in your local church, your local school hall, your local hockey club or golf club, whatever it is. You want to do a internet safety parent talk. You may decide you want to do a webinar with Neil from E92, co-host. And let's do an internet safety talk across the UK and invite everyone to join us and record it for everyone and have English Sign Language there to support. It's an hour and a half of talk time and I can give you everything. You might decide, yeah, okay, grown-ups aren't for me. I want to do with kids. So you can, if you have kids in 7 to 10 years of age and you want to go in there and you want to deliver a program to them, an hour a week for 5 weeks, and you can certify them at the end and give them sticker booklets and have great fun with them, and that's an hour a week for 5 weeks. Or you could decide to deliver something to teens, or you could decide to have a workshop with senior adults. It could be one full day, or it could be 2 hours every month, depending on what the needs are. And here's the fun bit. Okay, you're ready for the fun bit now, Neil?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're an organization and you have a lot of employees and you're thinking, I want to do something for community this year, we want to do something, you could have a family day.
Yep.
You could have a bring your kid to work day. So
that
you
would
could invite your employees to bring their kids in and have a cyber academy day. They get to work in the company for a day and they come out as Cyber Academy champions with a certificate and a sticker book. They love the stickers.
Yep.
Or you could host the same but bring your parent to work day.
Which I think is incredible.
And you choose, they choose the modules. You have the modules and they choose which ones. And if it goes down to success, you might do it every quarter or every 6 months or something, depending on when the quiet time is. So there's so much there, Neil, and we have everything. It's just about, do you want to get involved? Are you connected into community?
Yep.
Get in there. Do it with a co-host, co-present. Do it with someone else, but you're not on your own.
You share it, absolutely.
Share
but it. I think the key thing is you don't need to be an expert. I think that's absolutely the fundamental. The most important thing is wanting to get out there and talk with others. And engaging, that's the fundamentals.
Absolutely. And if you don't like talking in general, presenting, you can help organize the events, coordinate, communicate, get it set up and prepare all the prints, the stuff to bring to the kids or the, you know, whatever it is, you know, events, manage that, you know. And as well as that, I can't not say this. Our Cyber Academy, thanks to our volunteers all around the world, is now translated into 19 languages.
Yep. There we go. So
there's no stopping you, like, there's no excuse.
There is no excuse. There's absolutely no excuse.
None.
So, I mean, that's a fantastic way to finish up. So absolutely, you know, we always kind of talk about kind of if there's any information, obviously get in touch with us for questions. But I think this one, more than any episode that we've done, we'll put all the details in the show notes and what have you. But absolutely, it would be fantastic if we can get more people, help add to that Kind of 4 million plus number, absolutely. And and I think
Wow.
it's not a one-off. I think we need to kind of keep going because we can see the rate of change, the technology that we all talk about when we're talking about products and solutions to our customers. That rate of change affects absolutely all of us as, and we're all just individuals. We finish working, but then we go home.
That's when
We're
the
all
real jobs
normal
start.
people. Yep.
Absolutely. So we need to get the conversation going and we need to keep it going in community all the time. That's what it's all about.
That's brilliant. Smashing. Thank you very much, Avril. That's
Thank
absolutely
you, Pam.
really interesting. That's brilliant. And then hopefully we'll get you a few more volunteers.
Listen, thanks to you, it's going to hit 5 million before the middle of the year.
There you go. That's the commitment. Thanks very much.
Thank
Thanks
you.
everybody. Thanks everybody for listening. Don't forget, look out for the next episode. Do like and subscribe. Do share. But for now, thanks very much.